Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What will happen at the end? I think that's one of the questions that has plagued human beings for all of existence, don't you think? What will happen in the end? There are a number of different directions that we can take that question, of course. There's the death of the universe, the end of human life on Earth, or even just the end of your own life. But what will happen then? It can be frightening for us to ponder these questions, the simple uncertainty of it. But every religion gives its own ideas of how to answer these questions, but so many of those answers differ in kind of crucial ways. But as we look at our epistle reading today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll actually see how Paul grapples with these very questions for the sake of his readers in the city of Thessaloniki. What will happen at the end of the world? And what happens to those whose lives end before that day of the end comes? When we understand Paul's words here in 1 Thessalonians, we'll find that far from bringing us to despair, the answer to these questions will instead offer tremendous comfort as we face these questions of mortality. Now, to understand our reading, we first need to look at what the early Christians believed about Christ's coming, because that actually plays into why Paul addresses this question in the way that he does. Paul himself was absolutely convinced that Jesus was going to return very soon, in his own lifetime, even. Now, Paul isn't exactly alone in this thinking. Gregory the Great, who was the Bishop of Rome around 500 or so, thought exactly the same thing after beginning the first Catholic missionary trip to England to evangelize the Anglos in around 500 or so. Luther himself thought exactly the same thing after bringing the gospel back to light for the nations in the Reformation. The gospel must be preached to all the world. All the world has heard. The English have heard. The people have heard the true gospel. Where are the trumpets? And so it's not exactly a new phenomenon for people to expect the coming of the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, Paul addresses an answer to a group that claimed that the resurrection had already happened. They thought that there was going to just be a single resurrection, and now anyone who dies, that's it, they're lost, they didn't get the eternal life. In 1 Thessalonians here, there's this idea behind our reading that those who die before Christ's return will have lost out on the promised eternal life. Actually, almost the opposite of what they were saying that Paul addressed in 2 Timothy, that Christ is going to return and those who live until the end, they're going to be good. But those who die in the meantime, well, sucks for them, they're just lost. Maybe they might receive something, but if so, it'll be more as an afterthought. The real blessing is for those who actually manage to live to see that day. And so you have all of these different competing ideas in the early church And imagine how terrifying, how heartbreaking this would be, especially that last one, if you have suffered a loss or if you see your own end coming. Perhaps your beloved spouse or parents or child. Perhaps they won't receive eternal life because they died too soon. Or perhaps they will be there, but only in a half-life state, simply because they rolled the dice and lost. Now, I don't think any of these are concerns that we experience today as a whole. We have come to accept by now that death is a realistic part of life. People do get sick and die. We trust, of course, in the eternal life that is ours through Jesus Christ, which is ours even if we suffer physical death. But at the same time, that grief that Paul is speaking into in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that grief is still present. We do still experience grief when those we love fall asleep in Christ. How could God have allowed this to happen? Why did it have to happen when he was so young? Where is God in the midst of such tragedy? Come soon, Lord Jesus. Why do you take so long? It's in the context of these questions that we approach our text. There is no better place to turn than Paul's words here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we will go through more or less verse by verse to see what Paul is saying to us. If you want to follow along, it is printed out in the bulletin. We start from verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. There's this question, or there's this through line in some that some people have expressed that, oh, Christians shouldn't grieve. They shouldn't feel sorry when someone dies. So is it okay for Christians to grieve? Well, Paul here assumes that Christians are going to grieve, that we are going to feel sorrow when someone dies. But that isn't where his concern lies, whether or not it is right. We are human. We do experience sadness and grief. In our Lifelight recently, we've been looking at the book of Job and how Job grieved over all of his losses, especially that of his children. Jesus himself grieved over the loss of his friend Lazarus. And yet, Christians grieve in hope. The hope that we have is the hope which Paul gives us here in 1 Thessalonians, that they are not gone. Continuing from verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope of a resurrection is tied inextricably with the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's great chapter on the resurrection, he shows that it is by Jesus' resurrection that we can be assured of our own eternal life, our own resurrection. If Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, then no one is raised from the dead. But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Without Jesus' resurrection, we are lost and dead in our sins. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we also will rise. Paul makes it even more explicit here in verses 14 and 15 that Jesus rose from the dead and he will return. And when he returns, he will bring with him all of those who have fallen asleep. And in fact, those who have fallen asleep in the faith will even receive the reward, perhaps a little before those who are still alive at that time. They will join with Jesus as he descends and returns through the clouds. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. This gives us actually one of the clearest descriptions in the Bible of what it will be like on the last day. That the trumpet will sound, the voice of the archangel will cry out, and all the dead will be raised. Incidentally, there is a part of me that kind of hopes that God is still auditioning trumpeters for the last day when I get there. After all, not too many professions continue into eternal life. Pastors? You don't really need an under-shepherd when you're with the shepherd. Teachers? I mean, what more is there to learn in the presence of true wisdom in Jesus? But musicians, and trumpeters in particular, God always has a place in heaven for them. And so the trumpet sound, the cry of command, the voice of an archangel, there will be no mistaking it when the resurrection occurs. You'll know it even before it's on the news. And what glory, what blessing there will be to see all of these things happen. The dead in Christ rising from the grave. They're not dead. They have merely fallen asleep, and God's trumpet will raise them, will awaken them. After all, nothing works better to waken a sleeper than reveille. I should know. I was a bugler for Boy Scouts. And so, therefore, encourage one another with these words. What encouragement it is for us that God is ultimately in control. And what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians almost 2,000 years ago is just as much for our encouragement as for the believers in Thessaloniki. Christians can and do grieve when we lose those we love. This is something that bears repeating whenever we face a loss, and even when we are not. When you suffer the loss of a loved one, do not feel that you have to be happy or rejoice because they are receiving heaven or anything like that. Yes, it is a blessing for those who fall asleep that their earthly suffering is over. Yes, they are receiving the joy and bliss of heaven, of God's nearer presence. But it is okay for you to be sad at the loss. It's okay for you to not be okay for a while afterwards. And if you aren't okay, then please say something. You can talk to me. Trust me, I have plenty of experience here. You can lean on our Stephen ministry, a shoulder to cry on when you're going through a rough patch, regardless of the cause for it, whether it is death or grief or loss of job or anything. It is okay to seek comfort in the body of Christ. And yet we do not grieve hopelessly, but hopefully. We do not grieve because we will never see them again, because they are gone, or because they lost. Instead, we grieve knowing that the tears will not last, that this separation is temporary, that there will be a reunion with them on the last day. The reunion we will have with them, we don't know when it will be. It may be the day of our own death, when we ourselves fall asleep and wake up in God's presence with them. It may be when the last day comes, We also could be alive here on earth to hear the trumpet and look up to see Christ Jesus descending on the clouds, surrounded by his heavenly host. But either way, we do not know when it will happen, only that it will happen, and soon. Knowing that, we live every day in that hope, looking to Jesus and his will for us. So then, what does happen at the end? Are those we love lost? Do they just vanish only to continue in our memories? Now, there are a lot of things about the last days, the end times, what happens after someone dies. There are questions that, to which God has not revealed answers. But there is so much more of which we can be certain. We know that they remain in God's love and favor. They are still alive in Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus assures us in John chapter 11, at the tomb of his close friend Lazarus, who had died 4 days before but would not stay there. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So yes, we do feel the loss. We do mourn, but not for long. They are not truly dead. They are alive in Christ, who is himself alive, never to die again. And we will one day see them again, whether in heaven or in the new heavens and new earth, into which God will call all of us on the last day, where there can be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more grief. How can there be when we are eternally alive in the Lord? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.